This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I think we're going to have this long conversation. I've flown across the country, and 20 seconds in, he goes, I mean, literally, I'm talking to the GM about something, and he leans to the edge of his seat and goes, so do you want to play football? And I was like, yeah, I'm interested. And he said, we're going a different direction at quarterback. And I was kind of shocked. Now, not shocked because I didn't think that was a possibility. Listen, of course, they want to move on. That's totally fine. But shocked because I just flew across country. You could have told me this on the phone.
Oh, man.
Cry harder, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I don't want to, you know, I'm not a big media attention guy, yet here he is crying on national television, pretty much.
And, yeah, sure, I'm interested. Do you realize how casual that sounds?
I could tell you exactly how he said it. They asked him, do you want to play football next season? He goes,
even if it was in that direct cadence.
He does the little lip pucker thing. He's like, I'm interested. That's exactly it.
Even if it's the direct cadence that he used it on the McAfee show, that's not good enough.
No.
All right, so we've got plenty of NFL draft to talk about, and we've got a chance to do so. We did ourselves a mock draft. We run the mock draft simulator. And now I get a chance to talk to someone that is one of my favorite people to talk to, and it's been too long since I talked with John Ledyard. Audibles and Analytics Pod, Read Optional Pod, Rookie Review Pod. He is everywhere. He is knowledgeable. He's one of my favorite people to talk to. John Ledyard joining us on the West Shore Hotline. John, it's Derek and Joe. First of all, it's great to talk to you again, my friend.
Hey, great to talk to you guys, too. I mean, especially this week. You know, we always feel like we always chat around this time every year. And so I'm excited to see what this week's going to bring for Buffalo.
Why? What's happening?
Of course. Just a little small event.
A little small event. And by the way, follow him on Twitter at Ledyard NFL Draft, because that's what's happening here is the NFL Draft. John, plenty of drama to start in the opening part of the round. Plenty with the Steelers in particular, the Bills picking at 30. There's a bevy of options and directions I can go in with where I want to ask this. And why don't we start where it will start? I mean, we all think that the Titans are going to take Cam Ward. He very shamelessly plugged away that Treylon Burks is a number four wide is the fourth best receiver in the NFL on a stream. So I think it's as good as writing it in ink that Ward's first. But what is Cleveland going to do at number two? Is it Travis Hunter? Is it Abdul Carter? And how much mystery can be behind the number two overall pick?
I don't think there's too much. I think they're going to draft Travis Hunter. That's kind of sort of what's out there. Definitely what I've heard when I've checked in with people in the know is that that's where people are leaning toward, assuming anyway. So I don't think it's as much. I mean, I think it really is a bigger question at four, kind of what's going to happen with the rest of the draft and when the quarterbacks are going to go. That to me is when the real intrigue starts. And that's probably where it should start too. I mean, Hunter and Carter are easily the best two players in this class. And, you know, I'm the guy that would be contrary. If it wasn't that way, I would tell people, but I think they're clearly the one and two guys. So I think that the second and third teams in this draft are looking out pretty good.
So let's talk about the quarterbacks, because the Steelers at 21 are absolutely a team that needs to think about that sort of scenario. I mean, I don't know if they're going to run into the season with Mason Rudolph at quarterback. We just played the Aaron Rodgers clip. So I don't know what's going on there necessarily with Rodgers and Pittsburgh, but what's going on in Pittsburgh that you're hearing and you're feeling with the Steelers, not just at 21, but under center in general?
Yeah, they just kind of had one of the worst off seasons we've ever seen, I think. And if they weren't the Pittsburgh Steelers, it would be more roundly discussed, I think, and they would be more roundly ridiculed if they're one of these teams that has a worse reputation and certainly a worse history. But the Steelers have been riding that rep for a long time, and they have been a franchise going nowhere for quite a while now. And so I think they deserve lots of criticism for the way they've approached the offseason, for sure. They're still trying to push and still trying to win now, you know, calling about Matt Stafford, these kind of guys, and that's the objective for them. So from their objective, that was their goal, and they have probably the worst quarterback, one of the worst quarterback rooms, certainly probably after the draft, will be considered up there and with the worst quarterback room in the league. And so can't win a Super Bowl, can't compete now without better players at that spot, obviously. I think there's a decent chance Rudolph could be better this year than what version of Aaron Rodgers we get. I know that sounds ridiculous to people, but Rodgers is just afraid to get hit when he's on a football field. Like, it was obvious last year when he was at the Jets. He was falling off his throws all the time. When the conditions are perfect, obviously Rodgers is better than Rudolph, but it's really hard to play quarterback in the NFL when you're going to be scared on 25-30% of your throws in the league. You're just going to be under pressure. So the bottom is always kind of waiting there to fall out with Rodgers, and that's why I don't think it's a great loss if he doesn't ultimately decide to be with the team. Who knows how long he'll play the games that he's playing, but I think that ultimately, even if he doesn't decide to go there, like, they're going to draft a quarterback no matter what his decision is, I think, at this point. And it's because they just kind of waited it out for this thing that very well may not happen. So even if Rodgers were to say now, yeah, I'm playing, I want to sign with Pittsburgh, I don't think there's any way you could feel super confident in the fact that he's going to be locked in by training camp still, that he's going to still want to play, that he won't change his mind again, that he won't ask to not be there at training camp like he did last year. And so it was just a foolish in the first place to wait and go after him and let these other options go by. And now you've sort of got to draft a quarterback in the first round, and you're picking at 21. Just a terrible place to be in from a process standpoint, especially in this quarterback class. Just, they put themselves in a really hard spot, but now they don't have a second round pick. They almost have to draft a quarterback in the first round now, which is almost unheard of when you're drafting at 21. So it's a tough spot to be in, and they're certainly going to reap what they've sown here.
John, it's tough looking at the Steelers there, but you also do plenty with Tampa. And the Buccaneers, they do have a lot more stable of a quarterback position there with Baker Mayfield. They did have themselves a little bit of a rough season, but still playoff bound nonetheless. What do you think Tampa needs to do here, sitting at, I do believe it's pick 19. What are the biggest needs that the Buccaneers have on the docket as well?
Biggest need is linebacker. They just need probably two guys who can play, and they're probably not going to get there. I mean, they've got Lavonte David. Anthony Walker's been an okay backup, so they signed him. Servisia Dennis comes back from the shoulder injury that cost him most of last season. So I think they feel like they've got some enough options they could go into the season with those three, but David, just, you can't get to the point in the season, like at this point in his career, where you're saying he's got to play every snap. So that really is the biggest need. I think right now, if the season started, they would need him to play every snap, or that linebacker room would become the worst in the league. And even though he's still good, it's falling off for him too. I mean, he's going to be, what, 35, 36 this season. And so it's just, nobody keeps playing linebacker at that high of a level at that age, I think. So they are limited that in that space on their roster. Will the draft, you know, this, I don't know if this is a great linebacker class, guys. Like, I know there's some hype, there's some upside, certainly there's some athletes, Carson Schwechinger, and I think Jihad Campbell as well. But when you watch the tape, it's like, you know, how pro ready are these guys? It's such an instinctual position. It's such a mental position, and the traits matter, but you know, the Bucs kind of dug themselves in this hole with Devin White before. It's one of the few bad picks that they've really made during the Jason Light era. And so, you know, I think that when you look at things from Tampa Bay's roster standpoint, defensive back and linebacker are the two big positions that jump out. They've really kind of given themselves a good edge rusher room with the signing of Hassan Reddick, bring back Anthony Nelson. They drafted Braswell last year. Obviously, Diaby is still the number one guy that's currently on their group that they like and that will start. So I think they don't need to go edge. If they go edge rusher, which I think is very much on the table, it's very much an indication to me that this team is going to move somewhat away from its, obviously, Todd Bowles, you know, known as one of these unbelievable blitz heavy guys. And I think that would be a sign that they're willing to move away from that prototype, and that they're willing to really explore what it looks like to be a dominant, you know, rotating four-man rush group, you know, similar to what Philly's done, and honestly what Buffalo does, and, you know, what Baltimore's done, what Kansas City has, Kansas City's blitz, but they've also, in the playoffs, they've really relied on these four-man rush groups, the 49ers, like all these teams that have had lots of postseason success, you know, the Bucs have had it, and when they did it against Mahomes in that Super Bowl, they hardly blitzed at all, and they've realized we need to get back to that. We need to be a team. Yeah, we're going to blitz, but we need to be a team that has another card to play. We need to be a team that gets better pressure with four and doesn't have to rely on scheme so much to do that. And I think they feel like they have some of those options on the interior, and they need another guy on the edge. That's what the signing of Reddick does. That's what the drafting of Braswell hopefully will do in year two. So I think that's their plan. So if they take an edge in the first round, it will be a big indication to me that we're going to see some significant schematic shifts under Todd Bowles, which doesn't happen very often around the league with many defensive-minded coaches. So it would be kind of an interesting sub-storyline to the draft.
John, for Buffalo's sake, sitting at pick 30, the conversation's kind of shifted in recent weeks, I've at least felt. At first, it was hammering a defensive lineman or cornerback, no other option. And now it looks like those classes are relatively deep enough where wide receivers starting to creep into the conversation at pick 30 in round one. Where do you think the Bills go at pick 30?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, man. I don't think that they will take just one position. I think they will really try to be best player available with their approach. I do think that they have to look at their group last year and look at the playoffs and how things end and say, we have to find a way to get better pressure with four. I think it just has to be such a priority for them. Now, you can't typically, when you're drafting that late, when you're picking at 30, it's like, well, okay, ahead of you, you know, six of these guys are going to go maybe. So do we want to kind of bank on the fact that we're getting that seventh best guy, if that's, you know, how their board sees it? So I think a guy they love would have to kind of fall in that range to them. There are a lot of body types in this draft that are very similar to what the Bills typically kind of take at that position. I mean, I think Landon Jackson has been probably one of the more tabbed players to them at this point, like just in terms of the process, people talking about how that could be a potential fit. Certainly culturally, based on the prototypes that they've drafted in the past, I could definitely see that. I like Landon Jackson a good bit. You know, that's a little high to me, but, you know, that position definitely matters a lot. So that could be a way they go. Another player, Ollie and I just talked about this on the Read Optional podcast, actually in relationship to Buffalo. I think he brought it up, but, you know, Trey Amos just is such a Billsy fit. Like, he just, the way he plays, the physicality, but also the fact he can play in a lot of different techniques. And McDermott's really a guy that's expanded and changed his scheme over the last couple of years and adjusted really well. He's probably one of those few defensive coordinators, as I said, that's really been way more evolving than we kind of anticipated or than he was early in his career. So I think that part of it for Amos would be a good fit because he's shown he can play lots of different techniques. He can play zone and man. He can be a trail guy. He can be a guy that spot drops and drives on the football. He'll tackle and play the run. And so there's definitely a lot of things that remind me of a Billsian type corner when I watch him that I think he could be of interest to them too. So we'll see kind of what direction they go in. There's certainly wide receiver options. I would say if Golden, McMillan, and Egbuka are all off the board at that point, and obviously Hunter, I would say there's a pretty decent drop-off to the next guy. I like Kyle Williams a lot. Luther Burden has this great upside. I don't really think he's a Bills type of player. So to me, I think it drops off. I know some people really like Jalen Knoll. Some people really like Jaden Higgins. You know, I would say I'm much lower on the rest of the class. So it sort of is beauty in the eye of the beholder. The Bills kind of have this mixed history wide receiver where I don't know if they've done – they haven't done as bad as other teams have done, but they really haven't done, like, you know, is Gabe Davis a miss? Like, he did get paid, and he helped them at times, you know. I mean, Shakir, it took forever, but now he's blossomed. And so, like, you know, what's Keon Coleman going to do? I think they've tried, and they haven't really found a star through the draft. And so I think they might have to feel convinced that, like, somebody really good is there. And the way I see it, if the board falls as expected and those top, you know, four guys counting Hunter are off the board, then I would have a little bit of skittishness about taking 130.
John Ledyard joining us here on the West Hur Hotline, the NFL Draft Round 1 starting on Thursday night. John, I do think that the Bills are also a little bit lucky here. Joe already mentioned it and hinted at it, that some of their needs are some of the deepest positions at this draft, including defensive tackle in particular. But my big question now is about this quarterback class, because it has a chance to really have a little bit of an influence this year, even though it's not touted as well as last year's when we saw six players go in the top 12 picks. What is this quarterback class to you? Does Shedeur Sanders fall? If so, where? And is Jackson Dart really a first-round commodity?
Yeah, I think that Shedeur Sanders, I guess I'm not even sure where consensus is on him, so I apologize. When you say fall, I would say he still goes in the first round. I don't – why would – I don't know that I would bet that he goes in the top 15. I think he's still somebody's gonna trade back in the end of the first round for Dart, and if Sanders falls down, maybe for him. So I think the over-under, in my opinion, should be set at like 2.5 for the first round, and I would say I would lean toward the over in the 3, but I don't think it's going to be like 3 juicy, you know, like 3 top 15, top 20 necessarily. I think you could see 2 in the 20s. It could be one of those kind of odder type of drafts, or perhaps somebody does trade up to get one from that range. You know, I mean, I think it's been talked about the Rams. They're always really aggressive for whatever they want to do, even though it's not like they need a quarterback right now. If they fall in love with the guy, you know, and they're not going to wait, they know the Giants and the Browns and others are trying to get back into the first round and jump them probably to get one, they could move up. So you could see something like that, but I don't know that anybody in the top 15, I know everybody talks about it for the Saints. I'm not convinced that they'll do that. It doesn't mean they won't. I'm not convinced that they'll do that early in the draft, but they could be one of the teams trying to jump up into the back end of the first round. So I don't think you're going to see a lot of trades in the top 10. I bet there's some movement happening after that where teams are trying to manage the board and get up when it doesn't cost quite as much, if I was going to guess. So I think you'll still see 3 in the first round, but I don't think it'll be the traditional way you see 3, where 3 go in the top 10, and then it's a big break until whoever takes the next one at the beginning of the second or something like that. I think you'll see a bit of a different configuration this year.
That's kind of that's the action I like to see, John, especially with last year when there were next to no trades and the Bills made 2 of them to exit the first round. I'm pretty sure I think the Bills had half the trades of the entire first round last year, and it was they moved back twice.
Yeah, it's definitely – this doesn't profile the draft for a lot of people are going to be making the big move to get up the board for sure. But I do – like I said, I think there will be action by the end of the first round. I think it'll be one of those where we're halfway through the first and like, wait, where – is anybody going to move? And I just don't think that's going to be the case. This draft has so little high-end talent, guys. It has a lot of depth. There's a lot of guys who will play and help your team. But I just don't think we're going to get many, like, multi-all-pro type of seasons out of this class. And teams, I think, feel that way too and are going to be pretty cautious about trading up in the first, at least, and giving up big-end assets because they're not going to want to give up future assets and better drafts. And in a draft like this, there's a ton of value to having a lot of picks, rather than just having one big one at the top, unless you're getting Hunter or Carter, in my opinion. So I think that's kind of how it shakes out.
John, it's been too long, but it's damn good to be able to talk some draft with you again, my man.
Always a pleasure, guys. I really appreciate you having me.
Next year, we'll work on getting you on a couple times and a little bit sooner as is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, guys. Whatever you need, I'm here for it.
Absolutely. But thanks, one more John. Thing before you go, John. Let everyone know where to hear your work if they are draft junkies like yourself.
Yeah, if you like draft stuff and you like really in-depth, you know, kind of nitty-gritty analysis on each of these prospects, really, Audibles and Analytics is the name of my Substack, and so you can subscribe there. But so there's a lot of free content, too, but there's if you want to get all the stuff behind the paywall, you get access to everything that I do for $5 a month or for $50 for the year if you'd prefer to do it that way. But, yeah, just lots of draft content in the season. Ollie Connolly and I do an NFL podcast that we talk about all the teams in the league, really. So the Bills are covered pretty extensively in there as well. We've had a lot of big, you know, macro conversations about the Bills and the way they've been built and all that kind of stuff on that podcast. So if you're interested in that stuff, team building and then player evaluation in the offseason, lots and lots of draft stuff. We've gone position by position, released podcasts for each position, talking, you know, 10, 15, 20 guys in at each position group in the draft. So if people are into that kind of stuff, I think we get into the weeds, and I think it's the type of content that's pretty unique and hard to find everywhere, but I think people would really appreciate it if they care to subscribe for it.
All right, John. Thank you very much. Appreciate the time, and I hope you have as enjoyable of a day as we will have here with the draft and that weekend as well.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on. John Ledyard joining us there on the West Hur Hotline as we do one last deep dive into the NFL draft.
Yep. I'm going to have to check out his stuff for Will Howard. See what he says.
See if it's on there.
Yeah. That was very insightful, though. And honestly, as someone who's not as in-depth into the draft as you are, per se, this season, who just knows the first couple rounds, I think it might be good to actually go check that out because it might inform me a little bit about later rounds. And I think everybody.
When draft Twitter became a thing, like John was one of the big faces of it. I mean, his handle on Twitter is at Ledyard NFL Draft. By the way, at Ledyard NFL Draft. So, yeah, no, John's been doing this for a bit. And, again, we just ended up, schedules weren't working. to a point where, like, it's been a couple of years. Mm-hmm. But it's good to hear from John and be able to talk ball with him once again.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. I think, you know.
Let's have ourselves a draft week. Let's have ourselves a weekend.
Yep. And speaking of, we've got a lot more to pedal through here today. You thought this is the final timeout. You thought wrong. We're here for a few more hours. We'll be right back, though, on the other side of this break. I'm Joe Calley. He's Derek Kramer. Evan's on the board. You're listening to WGR.